Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and all of you God-fearing, liberty-minded listeners out there, well, if that describes you, my name is your name, too. This is Saturday, the 28th, and we are wrapping up another month, and 2015 is flying already. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks for being out there. Thank you for your prayers, your encouraging letters of support. And that's what we're here for, to encourage each other, to inform and inspire and hopefully motivate to action, to get involved in the pursuit of preserving liberty, even if it is only regionally. We hope to restore a God-honoring constitutional republic, don't we? That's what we want to do. But sometimes it seems like the rest of the world isn't on board. The rest of the country isn't on board. The rest of the country doesn't want to be a country. They're not American citizens. They're global citizens. Well, there's plenty of us that reject that all across the fruited plains. And the patriots are strategically relocating. They are gathering together because things just are not right, and they don't seem to be getting any better. We're going to be talking about that. We need to shed light on that when those things when we come across these stories that we're going to be talking about. We've got so much stuff lined up, and I did a little switch here for the show that I was going to cover. You know, we've been covering a lot of, land ownership. Over on Radio Free Readout, we've been talking about Agenda 21 and some of the stuff that's been going on with that. And here's the other one that I wanted to cover. And I'm going to, but I'm still doing research. This is quite a topic. The vaccination topic. I think it is just too important for us to take it too lightly. And I'll tell you what, the more I'm learning, the more I'm convinced that we need to have some major information campaigns, because we're not being told the whole truth. But we're going to push that back because two reasons. First of all, the news cycle drives the topics, and something happened this week in Spokane that we're going to be talking about. Somebody who's involved, a breach of their liberties in the American Redoubt. But we are going to get to some of these other topics. I want to let you know that, thank you for spreading the word about Radio Free Readout being on KTW 630 AM. So we are on the AM dial covering North Idaho and Eastern Washington in the greater Spokane, Coeur d'Alene areas. However, your friends can tune in, and I know many of you are. We've got a lot of Radio Free Readout listeners and Amron operators tuned in right now. Welcome, guys. Thank you for all that you do, preparing for emergency radio communications in the event of a disaster situation. You guys do amazing, amazing work. And it's an honor to be working with you guys. But you can tell your friends and family, we are also streaming live. You can go to radiofreeredoubt.com. On the right-hand side, there's the banner of the John Jacob Schmidt Show on KTW 630 AM. And that will give you everything that you need to know about how to listen to live streaming or download the app for your mobile devices, and so on. We're also on Facebook. We've got some great dedicated partisans that help maintain that, so we keep fresh content going regularly throughout the day, every day. And you can also go to acn.cc, click on that bell that indicates, you know, Liberty, the Liberty Broadcasting Service and broadcasting system. And there is information there for live streaming late. Links. So before I tie my tongue all up with all that stuff, we should probably get into the news and commentary, news items that could and most likely are affecting all of us, or soon will be, as God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots. And last week I talked about this right-wing extremist threat that Obama, from this little threat summit that they had, came out of it saying, we believe the biggest threat to the United States is right-wing extremism. Now, we're all right-wingers. That means you are on the right side of center. Now, technically, if you study political science, right wing technically means you believe in less government. Left wing means you believe in more government. Okay, so far all the way to the right is anarchy. Okay, and then all the way to the left is totalitarianism, communism. All right, so we are to the right of center. All right, we believe in less government. We believe in self-governance as long as we're under the governance of God, because he's the one that gives us our rights. So it just makes sense that he could take them away. But we also know that governments can become corrupt. And it's a cycle that we have a lot of history to refer back to show that. But now we have a far left system all the way to the other end of the spectrum at communism, that views anybody who's not in their camp as a threat. So somehow the slightly right to center has become the far right wing extremists. Only what they did was they took a small sliver of the right wing that are way far to the right, right on the verge of anarchism. And that's your, you know, sovereign citizen movements, individuals. And what they've done is made all of us suspect at potential domestic homeland terror threats by association. So the article does go on to say that it is the sovereign citizen movement that was brought up the most, but that's not how the narrative is going. They're using the term right-wing extremists over and over and over. And we've seen the documentation from the Homeland Security saying, you know, what is a right-wing domestic terrorist? And it describes us. If you believe in the Constitution, if you espouse the Constitution, if you are against illegal immigration, it goes right down the line from homeschooling to traditional marriage to believe that the Christian religion is the only true religion. If you're opposed to homosexual marriage, well, then you fall into the hate category. And so this demonization process is taking place. And historically, we've seen this over and over. First they marginalize, then they demonize, right? And then they criminalize. And then they incarcerate. And then they exterminate. This is the cycle that we've seen over and over. So be watchful of this, but also don't fall for the lies. They've said 24 so-called episodes or incidents of violence surrounding this sovereign citizen movement. Now, and a incident of violence could just be somebody fired a couple shots at a government building in the middle of the night. 24 of them in 4 years. They don't talk about the 25 dead and 268 injured from Muslim extremists in this country. I've got a whole list of them. I'm not going to take the time to go down and read them all. Matter of fact, what we might do is just post this over on the posting for this show, itemizing all of these cases. How many people were killed? How many people were injured? Boston, Massachusetts, you know, is the foreign-born Muslims describing themselves as very religious detonate two bombs packed with ball bearings at the Boston Marathon, killing three people and causing several more to lose limbs. Not 25 incidences, 25 deaths. And as we reported last week, the Somali terror group Al-Shabaab calls for attacks on malls of America, but they're telling Americans, be vigilant. So what do we do, Department of Homeland Security? We've got these threats. Tell us what to do. Well, be vigilant. Of course, you know, when you walk into those malls, there's big prominent signs there that say no firearms allowed. So if you encounter a terrorist on an active shooter rampage, you'll be okay as long as you're just vigilant. You can't defend yourself, but you'll be a good citizen if you remain vigilant. The DHS affirms previous statement of need for vigilance at the U.S. malls due to Al-Shabaab terror threat. Security is being increased at other large shopping centers nationwide. The FBI and the New York Police Department Joint Terrorism Task Force arrest three men attempting to join ISIS and plotting terrorist attacks in the U.S. That was from 3 days ago. One terrorist arrested at or suspected terrorist arrested at JFK en route to Turkey, then to Syria. Also on the same day, the U.S. Embassy in Jordan is warning of credible risk of terrorist attacks at high-end malls in Amman, warning employees and Americans in the country to avoid these locations. But the biggest threat in America is the right-wing extremists, right? How about the cartels? I mean, if there's anything that we could justify using our military for, the cartels would be right at the top of the list. Drug cartels murdered more than 16,000 people just in 2013, and another 60,000 from 2006 to 2012. That's a rate of more than one killing every half hour for the last 7 years. And what's worse is those estimates are from the Mexican government, which is known to deflate the actual death toll by about 50%, according to one report. And right-wing extremists, you biggest threat to America. U.S. Representative Michael McCaul, Republican from Texas, said for the first time, he's on a chairman of a subcommittee for, you know, immigration, violence on the border. For the first time in 25 years, the cartels are now targeting American law enforcement. But was there any mention of that? I didn't hear it. What I heard was that the right-wing extremists, those on the right wing in America, are the biggest threat. Amazing. Let's switch topics here. Let's go to the American Redoubt. I was stunned, as many of you were. Idaho Senate plans to be open for business this coming Tuesday with a Hindu prayer. According to this article that I came across, which somehow slid in under the radar, came out of the Coeur d'Alene Press, this guy plans to start and end the prayer with the mystical syllable. I always wondered what that was. What is It's the mystical syllable containing the universe. Wow. And so they're going to open up Idaho legislative business in the Senate this coming Tuesday with a Hindu prayer. Now, this alarmed me because this is the first time ever they always open in a Christian prayer. Now they are allowing false gods, their worship of false gods, prior to opening business in the state of Idaho. So I put a letter out to everybody in Idaho that's on my list, that's AMRON members and redoubters, legislators, and members of the assemblies that are forming. And this is what it said. I want to bring to your attention something that is planned in our state capital and something I feel requires a strong response from you and me as Christian patriots to our legislators. Next Tuesday, the Senate will be open for business with an invocation, including a Hindu prayer. Idaho Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill, remember the name, said it demonstrates our tolerance for other religions. Despite the fact that Hindus are hardly measurable in Idaho, with a fewer than 0.5%, they're not even measurable. It falls under 0.5%. And the fact that this is an affront to God and Christians in Idaho, a Hindu prayer is inappropriate and does not reflect the Judeo-Christian values of the people and the culture of the state of Idaho. Now, my question that I posed was, what happened to God's people in the Bible when they demonstrated their tolerance for other religions? They began adopting those religions, which are an affront to God, and his people faced judgment. This should be offensive to the conservative Christians in the state of Idaho and everyone who's a God-fearing patriot. Now, but we have a constitution that says we're supposed to embrace all religions. I mean, that's constitutional. Well, let's go to the Idaho State Constitution. The preamble to the Idaho State Constitution reads as such. We, the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, to secure its blessings, and to promote our common welfare, do establish this Constitution. That pretty much sets the tone right there, does it not? Our own Constitution, or the state of Idaho Constitution, recognizes Almighty God as the source of our freedoms and blessings. Christian men put pen to paper in 1890 to ensure that our Constitution became a compact, that's a covenant, to preserve biblical principles of governance. Now, to think that it would be incongruent for God-fearing Christian men, if you want to know what their intent was, when they authored Article 1, Section 4, the guarantee of religious liberty, to have intended the assertion of false gods. Does that make any sense? Is that congruent at all? That godly men who recognize that the source of our freedom and our blessings is Almighty God, so we're going to form a compact, a covenant with Him. We're going to put it in writing. We're all going to vote on it as a civil body, saying this is who we are, this defines us, and these are our principles that we stand for. Does it make sense that they would say, but if any other false god comes along, we'll worship them too? This is what they're saying by escorting in false gods into our halls of government. And since the Constitution was written by God-fearing men and we are ourselves God-fearing people, we must ask ourselves, would God smile on us and beam with pride for our tolerance of worship to a false god within the halls of our government? That's a government being operated under a Constitution, a covenant with the above preamble. So, I urge each of you to notify your legislators and voice your strong opposition to this. It's an offense to God and hopefully to us, to you, if they continue with this. Urge your senator to leave the chamber during the prayer. Who does your senator fear? God or man? This is what we need to be asking ourselves. This is pretty serious. Now, it seems like it may already be set in stone. But I'll tell you what, there is so much outrage right now over this because so many of you have just lit up the phone lines, the email, everything else. To tell these folks, this is completely unacceptable. You will not stand for this. You're urging them to walk out. So that hopefully, even if this does go through, they're saying, this is the first time in Idaho history that we've opened up in another religion's prayer. Well, then let's make it the last time. Let's try to stop it in the first place. But if they persist, we should be, our prayer, they're, oh, by the way, they are going to follow up with a Christian prayer after he's done with his prayer. So that prayer should be begging forgiveness for allowing the worship of a false god and a prayer of repentance. So whoever's given that invocation there, there's a little tip, little pointer, all right? You could save the rest of us from the consequences of leading our state to the state of Idaho to worship false gods. I'm just saying. Matter of fact, this was so outrageous that one listener immediately contacted his senator and he didn't believe it. This is a senator in the Idaho State Senate. He says, please tell me where you heard such false rumors. Whoever said it is misinformed. Nothing but traditional Christian prayers have been and will be offered. Thanks for asking. Radio. Pretty blunt.
Free. Read out.
I hope you've enjoyed your cheap fuel prices lately, because those prices are going to begin to skyrocket very soon. In fact, they're going to rise faster than at any time in the past decade. This is your Eye on the Economy Minute with Fox 519. Despite crude oil prices remaining low, gas prices at the pump have begun to rise recently. While still at levels not seen since 2009, gas prices in February have surged at the fastest pace in the last decade into two-month highs. The economic research firm of Stone, McCarthy, and Research Associates notes that the price increase can be related to shutdowns at some refineries due to strikes, but prices for gasoline also historically start to rise anytime in the spring and as the summer travel season begins to spike. Currently in the readout, the price of a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline is now at $2.05. If I were you, I would focus on my fuel storage in the next couple of weeks, and don't forget your stabilizer. This has been your Eye on the Economy Minute, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
It makes me livid when I hear the anti-self-defense thugs and their minions in the government, in the media, and from Hollywood talk about common sense gun regulation or reasonable measures to keep criminals from getting their hands on guns. Fortunately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans vastly outnumber the hopeful slave makers. Still, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Since they can't ban combat rifles or handguns outright without starting the Second American Revolution, they change their tactics. These appear as soft tactics, but their end goal is the same: disarm the American people. And their sights are set specifically on the middle class. These tactics are licensing and registration. This creeping gradualism is nothing short of tyranny, and has historically always led to confiscation. If they were honest with you and me, and especially themselves, they would acknowledge their measures do nothing to reduce crime. But then, reducing crime was never their goal. Vladimir Lenin said, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." But I say, never register or license your arms, and never give them up. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
All right, welcome back to segment two. Not quite as abruptly as we went out of segment one. Oh, man. I was expecting some cue-up music. So here comes my music's got to be coming anytime. I'll do my smooth fade-out. Hey, we'll be back in a minute. And slam. Right. So I apologize for that. It was about timing. Everything's about timing. Okay. Anyway, I just want to finish up with this. The senator didn't want to believe it. I can't believe that. No, that's not going to happen. Not happening. Well, he emailed right back and said, "I'm disappointed to tell you that the rumor is true." So there is a frenzy right now. They are putting together meetings, and there's major pushback. There's pushback, my fellow citizens, brothers and sisters, because you got involved. Because you started emailing, and you struck a nerve with our elected officials. So down in southern Idaho, man, that's like two different states. It's almost becoming like eastern and western Washington. I mean, there's talk of seceding from western Washington and forming a state on the eastern side in the American Redoubt. And you know what? The way that they're making decisions in southern Idaho, and as left-leaning as they are, that discussion might have to start taking place in Idaho as well. But let's talk about something else, speaking of the American Redoubt, because this is what I wanted to bring you into. There was an event that happened this week. Some citizens were gathering to stand for the Constitution. They were standing in support of the 10th Amendment Center at the federal courthouse in Spokane in the American Redoubt. There were several people that were armed, as they usually are when they are supporting the Constitution. It's symbolic. It's an exercise. James Rawls, the author of Patriots and Survival Blog, said that our rights are like a muscle. And if you don't use them, they go into atrophy and you'll lose the use of them. Well, we had a citizen standing as a free man, armed, drinking a cup of coffee, talking to the organizers, and the Department of Homeland Security got all spun up. And we are joined right now by a patriot, Anthony Bosworth, who was attending that event, very heavily involved in, well, Liberty for All, the organization Liberty for All, several responsible for organizing several other patriot events in the last couple of years, a candidate for sheriff in Yakima, and so, or outside of Yakima. So, Anthony, you're with us, are you, brother?
Yeah, I am.
Oh,
I'm
great.
Glad to be here.
It is good to hear your voice, man, and it's good. It's good that you're free now. Okay.
Well, we're working on that, but yes, I am not in the cage anymore.
No, but they had you in a cage.
They actually had me in a cage inside of a fully steel room.
Okay, there's a lot of listeners that are not, they're sitting there and their head's spinning right now, and they're saying, what in the world are we talking about? So take us back to that morning this week, and I want you to describe the events briefly. And we've got all of the stuff posted, you know, it's on Facebook, it's all over the internet, but there's a lot of folks that are just becoming aware of this. So talk about what happened.
Okay, to start off with, we went there to support the 10th Amendment group. Talking to the leaders like you had previously said, I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, I was standing there drinking a cup of coffee, and we were approached by a security guard, and he was friendly. We were actually having a discussion about the Second Amendment. And then I noticed Homeland Security coming up, and they informed me that I was breaking federal law, and I asked them why, and they said because I was armed, and they quoted a law, USC 18930, I believe.
903, actually. I have it right in front of me.
Correct. That I was armed. They misquoted it. They said I was armed on a federal facility. The law actually says in a federal facility.
Yes.
And so I debated it with the Homeland Security guy a little bit, and then immediately went into, because I wasn't there for a Second Amendment thing. I was there to support the 10th Amendment, so I was going to disengage quickly so I didn't take over their event in any way. So I started talking to the Homeland Security guy about the property line between state and federal land, because it was important if he was correct.
Yeah.
And we were coming to a conclusion of where that was, and a plainclothes guy walked up, which we later found out was a federal marshal,
right,
and engaged and started putting me in cuffs. And I tried to warn him. I had a cigarette in my hand, and I was burning him. He was going to get burnt, so I had to pull my hand away from him and drop the cigarette. And the whole time I'm saying this to him, so he knows why I'm pulling my hand away from him. The two marshals ended up getting an argument behind me who was going to do what with me. And they ended up cuffing me, taking me in the building. And before they entered the building with me, I requested an attorney. They denied me twice before we entered the building. I'm going to kind of just speed through this a little bit here, not all the detail unless you want certain details.
Well, I do. There actually are certain details that I am after, but so let's just be clear here. You were armed. You were carrying a combat rifle slung in a non-offensive posture. You had it behind your back.
That's correct. I actually went through great lengths to make it where it was very safe in perception. It was an AK-47, had a 10-round mag in it, empty. I had it slung over my back with the strap really tight so it couldn't be removed easily.
Right.
So it didn't look like I could draw it fast. I did have my legal sidearm on exposed at the time also.
Okay, now it's also important that the listener understands it is perfectly legal in the state of Washington to open carry.
Correct.
Okay, now I got the whole video. I watched the whole thing. And by the way, I was actually very impressed when the sheriff showed up. Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, I think, was the one who personally showed up and took care of this situation. Because what you were doing was legal. And it's very clear that you cannot be inside the facility armed. But there's nothing saying you can't be outside. Matter of fact, the law doesn't even state that.
Well, and there's actually a Supreme Court case that actually specifically talks about that.
Do you have that referenced, by the way?
By the Supreme Court case, the first floor of that building is also legal carry. But I wasn't going to push that issue.
Right, right. Yeah, well, So right now it's very clear. And then, so the guy says, look, you need to leave right now while you're engaged in a conversation with another police officer. So there's no hierarchy established here, right? Who do you listen to? This officer who's having an amicable conversation with you, or this other party that just walks up and just starts barking orders, which takes precedence? How is a citizen supposed to know?
Well, and that's exactly where I was at. I seen a plainclothes guy come up and just basically he's telling me to leave or I'm going to get arrested. In my perception, he could be a citizen, you know, that was just siding with them. I had no idea who this man was. He didn't never identified himself at that point.
Right.
I didn't realize he was an officer of the law until he actually approached my other side and I seen a utility belt under his clothing. And at that point, I realized he was an officer of the law. But it was clear, or at least I thought it was clear to me that the Homeland Security guy was in charge because they were ignoring him. Mm-hmm. You know, when he would bark orders, they would just disengage with him and ignore what he was saying. They were actually doing the opposite of what he was saying.
Right. And that's where I could see the conflict. So right now, we've got you at perfectly, we have the right to assemble. That's First Amendment. You have the right to bear arms. That's the Second Amendment. The law that they quoted you doesn't even fit this situation. You're standing in a state where it is perfectly legal to stand with an open carry firearm, long rifles or handguns. This is my understanding. But their beef was with you being on what they were calling federal land, federal
Correct.
Property, which the law doesn't cover.
And correct. And even if it did, mind you, there's court precedence that says that there has to be a known boundary that is visible or distinguishable by the common man.
Right.
There was nothing, even if he was correct, which we know he wasn't, there had to be a barrier or a sign or a line where the common citizen would know when they go from one set of laws to another set of laws by simply crossing an invisible line.
Like you would see at a military base. Like a military base is very distinctly clear.
Exactly.
You know, with this was not the case. It was just a free, you know, sidewalk and landscaping and bricks, and it all kind of blurred together.
Well, and when you walk over there, you look and you see this great big plaza with benches and monuments and stuff like that. It's clearly that it was built for the public.
Right.
Oh. And so the common person would think that, you know, I could be here. It's state land or I'm legal to be here because it's a plaza built for the public to come and sit.
Okay. So this, what you've learned later, turned out to be a federal marshal, which apparently, I guess, he had a higher authority somehow than the officer that was standing there talking to you, the Department of Homeland Security. But they arrested you. They didn't really seem to manhandle you. Of course, you didn't resist. I mean, you were very polite, professional, concerned about his safety when he's grabbing the hand with the cigarette. Did their treatment towards you remain that way once you got inside the building outside of the public view?
Well, there was stuff that was happening that because of them moving the person that was my wife that was filming away from us, so you lose a lot of the verbiage of what's being said. And you lose a lot of the detail in the video of what was happening. The plainclothes marshal was actually trying to prod me and upset me and try to goat me on. And you don't hear the verbiage. And you don't see that he's got one cuff on one hand behind me because the Homeland Security guy had my other hand. And the federal marshal is actually taking that one cuff and he's got both hands on it. And he's twisting it as hard as he can to the point he broke the skin on my arm. And he keeps jerking on it, I could feel that he was deliberately doing it, trying to inflict pain upon me. You know, they don't need to do that. It was passive as I was being at that point.
Right.
And I keep telling him, relax, I'm not resisting. There's no reason for you to do this. You don't have to try to harm me.
Right.
You know, you just don't have to do this. I said, I'll go. And he continually tries to prod me and upset me, and that happened all the way to the fourth floor, and it got worse and worse as we got up there.
Huh. Okay, and now they ended up citing you, and you sent me a copy. I actually got to see a copy of this citation. And why don't you tell the audience, what did they cite you for?
Failure to comply.
And that's literally what it says on the citation, failure to comply. But why did they arrest you? Because you had firearms on public on federal property, right? That's what started all this.
That was their Yes, that was their statement many a times.
You know, in my mind, if you're going to accuse somebody of a crime, being armed in a place where purportedly you're not supposed to be armed, and you cite them, you better cite them for that. Not some other catch-all failure to comply business. Because it's obvious that you were complying. Except for when the one guy says, you need to leave right now, and while you're in a conversation with another officer. Okay, so they cited you, and of course now you have a summons to appear, correct? I mean, that's obviously a summons to appear.
Yes, they're actually going to send the summons and the date in the mail.
Okay.
But on the slip, it says demand to show to court.
I see. Okay, now, once they got you inside, I'm seeing a couple of articles out here that's kind of circulating on social media. So I'm going to go straight to the source. We're told that you were interrogated by the FBI as a domestic terror threat. Can you speak to that?
Correct.
All right, so FBI agents.
Well, when they had me in the, when they had me in the cage, they started trying to mess with me simply by placing my belongings outside the cage, so I had to look at them. Just kind of little stuff like that. Immediately when I got in there and into this cage, there was a stainless steel toilet over in the corner, and I noticed there was no toilet paper. And me being true to form, had to do something, so I picked up this empty roll of toilet paper that was in that room, and there was no other, and I held it up to their camera. They had three cameras on me, and I told them, I pay you enough taxes, you can at least give me toilet paper. They no response. I requested again on film, on the camera, hey, I would like some toilet paper. They made me wait 4 hours before they brought in toilet paper.
They're probably anticipating they were probably anticipating the Department of Homeland Security budget getting cut, so they didn't want to run out and buy any.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea there. But no, it's just games they play. You and I both know games they play to just mess with somebody to try to break them down a little bit.
How can they? How do they justify holding you for 4 hours? What was taking place during that time?
Well, when we first went in, when I seen the cage inside the room, my instinct was I put the brakes on. I didn't resist, but I slowed my pace down a little bit. And I said, you guys need to understand something. I need my attorney now. And at that point, the federal marshal laughed at me and told me, this is a federal installation. We don't have to give you an attorney of any kind. He goes, that is Hollywood stuff.
Oh, constitution-free zone. I see.
Exactly. And they shoved me in the cage and locked the door. And they let me stew on it for a couple hours. And then they brought in what they claimed was a local law enforcement officer. I'm assuming they meant police officer. And then an FBI agent. And at that point, they started questioning me about leadership, about the movement, and I asked them what movement were they referring to, and they were like, well, you know the one you're leading. And I was like, I don't lead nothing. I'm just an American citizen that's concerned for my rights, and I'm standing up like all the other patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they keep prodding about, you know, well, their specific question was, you've been peaceful thus far, but what is your plans, and when are you going to turn violent? And immediately, I told them, in all the liberty movements I've been involved in the last year, the only violence has come from the government and law enforcement. The protesters that I've been there with have never once got violent. We're peaceful.
They actually asked you, with this liberty movement, when you're going to become violent.
Correct.
See, I'll tell you what. We'll have to have some conversations offline, but I think some training for the Patriots is in order, because that conversation should not have taken place. Once you said, I want an attorney, I want one right now, that should have ended. The only thing coming out of your mouth from that point forward should have been, I want an attorney, and I want him right now. Because these guys are trying to set up the Patriots. You could have asked them, though, when do you plan on becoming violent again? This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're tuned in to the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back in a moment.
The world is caught in an era of socialist expansion. Most of the nations are affected. And America is a target. In fact, the number one target of both the socialist and the communist. If we permit our great system to crumble through the apathy of our citizenship, we shall lose not only our freedom, but our prosperity and our still brighter future.
In the days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
The Voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
We are back with the final segment three here at Radio Free Redoubt. We are talking to a patriot, God-fearing, liberty-minded individual who was arrested this week in the American Redoubt for exercising his constitutional rights. He was breaking no law until he was ordered to do something that, to leave a property he had the right to be on and was not in violation by being on it in the first place. Completely false premises, and this is upsetting. And so, you know, we hear these stories, read them in the newspaper, something going on across the country somewhere, but very seldom do we ever get to actually sit down and have a conversation and say, let's talk about the details. What happened? What did they say to you? And so thanks, Anthony, for staying with us. And now you got a website here. Let's talk about that. How can they go to learn more about some of the stuff that you're involved in to help inform citizens of their rights?
Well, we've got our team. It has Liberty for All. That's where we kind of base out of as a team. One of our team members is Kit Lang. She's does all the writing for us and everything. And she has a site called Patrick Henry Society in.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much 90% of what we do, she writes about on there. She actually goes to there. We also share it with our Liberty for All page.
That's how I first became aware of it, was through the Patrick. I got notified by my assistant. She says, hey, heads up, Anthony Bosworth just got arrested. And I'm like, when? She's like, right now. It just happened. And so it's on the Patrick Henry Society Facebook page. Now, do you for Liberty for All, do you have a website, or is that just a Facebook page, or what?
We do, but I think it's in its infancy right now.
Okay.
A lot of the work we're doing right now is there's an arms expo coming up this June here in Yakima that the four of us, the Liberty for All, is putting on. And it's called armsexpo.com. It's www.arms/expo.com. That's the website.
Okay.
That's kind of where we base out of on that.
Absolutely. We're scheduled to be there.
Pages.
Yeah, we're scheduled to be there. The Arms Expo in Yakima, Washington in June. Matter of fact, we might be actually streaming live. Some great speakers and patriot leaders, legislators are going to be there. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Now, I want to open up the phone lines.
Yeah, it's going to be quite an event.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. I really think it is. I want to open up the phone lines to the listeners. Get you guys engaged in this conversation. What are your thoughts? Have you had similar experiences? Where do you see this leading? The numbers 1-877-999-7684. 999-7684. That's toll free. It's a 1-877 number. Niner 7684. Now, and here's another thing too, that Mrs. Schmidt and I were discussing this as soon as we found out, and we're starting to see the social media start to flow. Now, we're conservative Christian patriots, and the last thing that we want to do is to have to fight physically like the founding fathers did, fight for freedom again. We need to exhaust every other possible course of action, and that is strictly a last resort. But we also have to understand that sometimes that's what it takes. And now I know a lot of people in the government and federal agencies that are very patriotic in many of the alphabet soup agencies. And they've made their decision now where they stand. Now, I don't know what they would have done in this particular situation. Maybe just roll with it. They're kind of keeping things close to the vest because they know a time's coming when it's really going to count to lay low until then. I don't know, but there are definitely patriots among the ranks, and there are guys who are not. As my wife and I are looking at this, we're thinking, you know what? You know, is this smart, really? Is this kind of provoking things? Should we be marching up and down the sidewalk in front of the federal building carrying an AK-47? Because what's the media going to do with, you know, about this? And then as this conversation unfolded, you know, I'm just processing all of this. We've come to the point now where we're thinking, ooh, maybe we shouldn't. How do we get to that point? Because I long for the time when our founding fathers and the militias were openly, like in Israel today, openly carrying their arms as they're going about carrying, you know, their business in town. Why can't we return to that? Well, it's because of the psyche of the American people and the indoctrination that's taken place that's made people scared when they see somebody armed. And so, Anthony, what brought you to the point where you said, you know, I'm going to show up to this event and make my voice known, but I'm going to be armed? You went through a process to reach that point to make that decision.
Well, that process for me started a long time ago. A mistake I had made, and I have been ashamed of my ever since. And when I served in Iraq, 18 months in Iraq, we heard that we could possibly lose our weapons when we come home because we showed the ability to kill.
Yeah.
Which we didn't like over there, that you sent us here to defend our country, but yet you're going to remove our rights when we come home. Shortly after I deployed home, I deployed to Katrina. I was a soldier armed in soldier uniform with soldier weapons patrolling the streets of America. And I was literally there less than 24 hours, and I was ashamed of myself. I couldn't do it. That's when the point of change for me happened. And while I was there, I actually changed my mission personally. I had a military mission to do, and we were running 12-hour shifts. And so we were down 12 hours, and, you know, in the military, you got to keep your guys going or else they get in trouble. So we started going out into the communities during daylight hours because we patrolled at night. And we just started assisting the citizens. That was my pay that I was trying to recoup for my guilt. Is we patrolled at night illegally as soldiers, and now during the day I was trying to help. And that's when it really changed for me. I swore I would never, no matter what capacity I was in, would I ever be on the wrong side again.
Yeah.
And from that point, that's how I've moved forward. I mean, I'm a private man. I'm not very good at communicating with people. I like to be by myself. But there was a call to duty that I had to do something. I had to stand from that day forward. And so I come out of my comfort zone, out of my puddle.
Yep.
And that's where I got started.
Well, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a trend that we need to continue with because the media is never going to be our friend. They're never going to paint any of this in a positive light. So why not just be free and act like it? And to the point now where somebody sees a rally and they see a whole bunch of people armed, nobody thinks anything of it. And that's where we should be. But anyway, and we got some people on the line here, and let's go ahead and take some calls. So some people have some questions for you. We just lost Carl in Spokane, apparently. Carl, if whatever happened, you came disconnected, you can call back. But let's go to Pat in Hayden. You have a question for Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is for John Jacob. You're doing a great job on your show. We appreciate it. You said something earlier that you were proud that Ozzy did when he showed up when Anthony got arrested, and you didn't go on any farther with that. Right. What exactly did Ozzy do, and was he a help in the situation, or could he do anything?
Great question. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, Ozzy is the sheriff of the county. And there is not one person other than the people themselves that have more authority in that county than Ozzy does. Ozzy is the senior top law enforcement agent in that county. He has authority and supremacy over the FBI, the Homeland Security. His word is final when it comes to that. Now, keep in mind, the people have the very last say. And so Ozzy, in his response, when he went to the federal agencies and said, you will release Mr. Bosworth, he was well within his authority to do so, and he was also well within his authority to put his deputies in that building to do it by force.
That's what I wanted to follow up
with. By the Constitution.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to follow up. And thank you, Pat, for bringing this back, because I've got several things in my notes that I want to come and bring full circle. There's just... can we get another hour, Patrick? Can we bump somebody off? No, I'm kidding. We're going to have to just make this happen. Okay, thank you, Pat, and God bless you for the call. Now, the sheriff went in and interceded for you, like he should have. Is that correct? He said, release my people.
From my understanding, that's exactly what happened. My understanding that it was prompted by all the phone calls from the great patriots around not just Washington, but Idaho, Oregon, Montana. They got inundated with the calls, from what I understand. I know a local group of patriots called him directly and said, either you go do it or we're going to do it for you. I've had to talk with some of that leadership that
so the sheriff, that phone so call. The sheriff gave them an ultimatum then. Release him or I'll bring my deputies down here and we'll make sure he gets released. That conversation actually took place.
I think the ultimatum that actually happened was the sheriff went to him and told them to release me or else the patriots were going to come down and force the issue, and they did not want that. I believe that's the conversation that was had.
And what leads you to believe that was the conversation?
I actually had a face-to-face conversation with one of the leaders of that patriot group that fielded that call.
Okay. Well, he did the right thing. He stepped in there and says, let my guy go. He interceded, and you had an advocate, a constitutionally elected sheriff, who said, the citizen's not doing anything wrong. We'll release him. But they still insisted on charging you. Was that before or after?
Yes.
Did you receive the citation before or after the sheriff came onto the scene?
No, I received the citation as they were welcoming me to leave the building. During the interrogation process, I noticed a quick change in their demeanor. They were still probing, still pushy, but they got a lot softer in their interrogation. They got a lot more careful with what they were saying. And by the time after I got out and talking to people, that was about the time Ozzy had left the federal court facility. So the times correlate. About the time they lightened up is about the time they finished the conversation with him.
What of your personal articles did they have access to when you were in custody?
They had my driver's license, my coat, and my belt, and my sidearm and my long rifle. All other things we exchanged quickly before they got me locked up.
So they didn't get your phone? They didn't get any address books or anything like that?
Absolutely not. We got rid of that stuff. We handed that stuff off really quick as it started to escalate into where
Smart.
It looked like they might detain me.
All right, patriots, that's called sanitizing. Remember that word, sanitizing. If you're going into a situation where you think there's a high risk of you being incarcerated, for exercising your rights, make sure that you are sanitized, because the next order of business would be go through everything and download everything and start building a database on all of your contacts. And then it goes out from there like an octopus with tentacles. And they start finding their contacts and they start building. They can do this anyway, actually, with smartphones and everything. They give this to them, but they have to work for it. If they got your cell phone in their hand, man, that's just like the best. So you want to think about denying them of that. And what is your attorney? Oh, your firearms. Let's talk about that. Your firearms. What's the status with those?
Well, that was a great thing. I was going to throw this out there earlier to you because it applied to something you were saying before, but it was out of order in the chain of events, but I'll put it out now. The firearms. Here was the odd thing when they released me. I not requested, because patriots need to understand there comes times they have the right to demand. I demanded my firearms back because I had not broken the law.
Right.
This is what the federal marshal's office told me. And people need to understand what's being said here and what it entails in reality here. They told me they could not give me back my firearms because the state's attorney's office did not know if they had legal authority to seize them, arrest me, detain me, or if they might come up with a federal offense to charge me with later. And until the state's attorney's office figures out, because in their words, they were in a gray area, they didn't want to turn the weapons back over to me if, in fact, they were evidence.
Then you know what?
So they were going to
hold when there's gray area and that's in question, then you side on you err on the side of liberty. If you're not sure if there's a crime, or you might be able to come up with a crime at some point in the future, if you're sitting there trying to weigh all that out, then the solution is simple. You err on the side of liberty. You give the person their bloody firearms, you give them the property that was taken from them without due process. This is what we're up against, and this is something that we need to be informed.
You know, John, I was willing to work with him on it, too. This was my proposal to him. Keep my long rifle for evidence, if you must. But do not deny me the right to travel clear back across the state armed. I have a family with me. I have the right to be armed to protect my family. I have got to travel 4 hours back across the state. Do not deprive me of the right of defending my family.
Hey, besides that, aren't they in violation of I-594 because there was no background check on them when you transferred your firearm to them?
That is correct. And just to bring a little bit more fire to the puddle there, I told them, if you want to charge me with a crime, I will tell you of a crime in the state's eyes I have committed. And I dare you to charge me with it. And, you know, I'm telling them this.
Yeah.
I said, the sidearm I have is not my sidearm. That was an illegal transfer under state law from me to somebody else.
Well, hey, Anthony.
That is not my firearm.
We are at the end of our time, brother. I want to thank you so much for being with us here at Radio Free Redoubt. We're going to follow the story very closely, and we're going to be following several other stories having to do with liberty and freedom, self-reliance. RadioFreeRedoubt.com, our Sunday evening podcast tomorrow night. Then we'll be back right here on KTW 630 next weekend at 11 a.m. God bless and have a great week.